You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I am thrilled to say we are being joined by Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, one of our nation's most distinguished and accomplished diplomats. He is now out of government, but for many years he represented us with great distinction in places like the United Nations and in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and almost always under extraordinarily difficult and challenging circumstances. Today he's the president of Griffin Partners and a counselor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He's also always a welcome guest here. Zal, great to have you. Welcome back. Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. There's so much to talk about, drawing on your experience in all of these portfolios. I guess where I'd like to start, Zal, is you've been writing recently about Afghanistan, and specifically about the new effort to engineer some sort of peace talks, brokered, I guess, by the Pakistanis. What is your prognosis for those talks, and specifically the question of whether or not the Pakistanis might be willing to use their good offices to actually bring to heel a creature of theirs, the Taliban?
Yes. Well, I am not optimistic about the prospects for these talks. I believe the situation on the ground is such in Afghanistan that the Taliban are likely to continue to push their advantage without a substantial reduction in forces in Afghanistan and the transfer of security responsibility to Kabul. The balance of power has shifted in favor of the Taliban and the Haqqani network. And last year was a very bloody year for the Afghan armed forces, and the Taliban have made significant gains on the ground, although the Afghan armed forces have largely held. But I believe that the talks, which have come about under pressure from the United States, are going to be largely aimed at saving or gaining time for the Taliban to make additional progress.
Our guest is Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, and we're talking with him about, at the moment, Afghanistan. And the president, of course, is going to be talking about it, I suspect, at least in passing, as is his general practice with respect to international affairs, in the course of his remarks in the State of the Union address this evening. And Zal, you were just talking about these peace talks that his government has helped to engineer have not much prospect under conditions in which the Taliban seem to be ascendant, or at least have reason to believe they will be. Does this mean that the end state that they've sought for so long is now in prospect, that they will, in fact, take the place back?
I think they will, in the immediate future, seek to gain a strategic depth in eastern and southern Afghanistan, and will probably press the regime and the government in Kabul to concede that area as a stage, and then push for Kabul down the road, perhaps in a power-sharing formula with some other elements. But I think in the immediate instance, there will be an effort to establish a kind of sanctuary in eastern and southern Afghanistan for the extremists, the Taliban, and for the Haqqani network.
Let me turn to another place that's also not turning out as we might have hoped, namely Iraq. You served there in some, as I said, particularly momentous periods. What, in your judgment at the moment, is the prospect for Iraq, the president having made the seemingly fatal decision to withdraw U.S. forces as he did? How does that look to you at the moment, and what's coming?
Well, that was a strategic error, the withdrawal, complete withdrawal from Iraq. I think that Ramadi, the success of the Iraqi forces with our support to take Ramadi back from ISIS was positive. However, the conflict continues in the suburbs of Ramadi and the Anbar area. The question remains whether the success that has been achieved can be consolidated, the peace can be won there, and the government of Iraq faces significant challenges in that regard. But what happened in Ramadi, tactically at least, is a success.
Let me ask you, Zal, to back the lens up a little bit. Of course, what happens in Iraq will presumably, at least in part, be a function of the rising power of Iran, another Shiite nation that has ambitions of exercising considerable influence, as you know so well, in at least much of Iraq. When you see what's happening at the moment, Zal, namely the rising tensions with the Saudis, the seeming inevitability now, I think, of Iran getting nuclear weapons and probably triggering proliferation among its neighbors as well, and this prospect of an imminent transfer of perhaps as much as $100 to $150 billion to the Iranians, is this a formula, in your professional judgment, having spent a lot of time in this neck of the woods, for a much wider and very, very awful war?
I think that the prospect for increased tension and perhaps even wider conflict involving Iran, Saudi Arabia, perhaps Turkey, has increased in recent times with the successes that Iran has had in Iraq, in Syria, in maintaining the regime there, and pushing in Bahrain to destabilize Bahrain in Yemen. I believe that our agreement with Iran has undermined also the confidence of our friends in us, and therefore they're looking at other options to respond, and there is further regional grouping and polarization, and I think we're in for a period of increased tensions and perhaps increased conflict between an Iran that's seeking regional hegemony and the frightened and insecure Sunni Arab and non-Arab Turkish power in the region.
Zal, in just the closing minute we have, when you see Iran doing things like firing off missiles within less than a mile of, you know, some of our naval vessels in the Persian Gulf, do you worry that when Iran does, in fact, achieve a nuclear capability, that they will effectively be able to shut off our access or otherwise control the flow of oil and otherwise through that very important waterway of the Persian Gulf?
You know, Frank, the logic of a rising hegemon is to push the external balancer out of the area because it would see that external balancer, in this case the United States, as standing in the way of its ambition. And so I believe as Iran succeeds in increasing its power, either we will have to acquiesce to that hegemony and abandon the region, or the prospects of a confrontation, perhaps by a subsequent administration that is likely to be, and hopefully more tough-minded than the current one, would increase. I think the steps that we have taken and things that we have not done increases the prospects for perhaps a miscalculation on the part of Iran, and increases the prospects for increased tension and even conflict between us and the Iranians down the road.
Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, again, thank you as always for your service to our country over many years in many different capacities and usually in very miserable places. And thank you for joining us from time to time. It's great to talk with you, my friend, as always. Next up, Mark Labouy joins us. We'll talk about censorship in Canada and what it might mean for you. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.